Koinonia, a place of encounter with the Holy Spirit and transformation by the principles of God's kingdom.
Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands to heaven. Turn this song into a prayer. My life belongs to you. Let it be used for your glory. Someone is giving God quality things. Father, we give you thanks that our lives be used for your glory. This is why we are here, to see your kingdom come, to see your power, your glory revealed in and through our lives. A desperate, serious believer is praying. A lover of Jesus is praying. One who means business with God, one who desires to be poured out as a drink offering. You're praying your heart to your maker, your king, the lover of your soul. Someone go ahead and pray. We're gathered tonight to experience his power, to experience his glory, to become better carriers of that glory, that grace. Now ask the Lord to give you an encounter tonight. This is Koinonia, a place of encounters. Encounters in all ramifications. Go ahead and pray. Give me an encounter. For someone, your encounter will mean the arrival of your testimony. For someone, your encounter is the opening of your eyes to see reality as it should be. For someone, your encounter will be establishing truth within your heart, within your spirit. For someone, encounter will be for you a new song. God will give you a new song. For some is a change of story. For some is a redirecting of your destiny. For some is the grace to make certain pro-destiny resolutions. In any case, cry for an encounter. 1 minute, still praying. Cry for an encounter. Semalanto shalige brandege baratos kiata. In Jesus' matchless name we pray. Father, with our hearts and our eyes lifted to you like a maid unto her mistress, we declare our total dependence on you for your word tonight. We're here because we trust you. We're connected across the globe because we believe. Your word declares that he that comes to you must come believing that you exist and that you are a rewarder of them that diligently seek you. We've come because we trust your power to change us. We trust your power to give us strange visitations. While thanking you for the many things that you have done already in our lives, we lift up our expectations tonight. In the name of Jesus, like empty vessels desiring to be filled, we come before you, crying and trusting that by your wisdom, by your spirit, by your power, you will fill us to overflow. In the name of Jesus Christ, we declare tonight that under the influence of this grace, there is the hearing of faith and the working of miracles. In the name of Jesus, I declare that tonight is someone's night for a turnaround. I declare that finally your answer arrives tonight. In the name of Jesus, I declare it will not be like other nights. This is a unique night for you. And by this prayer, I kill the spirit of unbelief. And I decree and declare that your heart is receptive, your mind is alert. And to him be all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Give Jesus a big hand clap and please, you may be seated. God bless you. Good evening, everybody. It's good to see us in the house of God again. I was glad the psalmist said, when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. May the Lord bless you. He will do you good tonight in Jesus' name. To our family connected across the globe, we welcome you to this marvelous encounter service. God will do you good in Jesus' name. There is no service here that is a repetition of the last. Every service is tailor-made by the wisdom of the Holy Spirit in partnership with willing and determined hearts to see to it that every experience is unique for your growth, unique for your transformation, unique to birth encounters and testimonies. May tonight be a unique one for you in Jesus' name. Are you ready for tonight? By the way, let me pass a comment over last week's message. I was I've been humbled by the response of many people. This is not my first teaching on finances and the issues of financial supplies, but I think that for many people and for some reason, maybe because of the reality of the times, you know, sometimes messages are like light. You don't need it in the day. But now because it's getting darker economically, I think most people are coming into the sudden appreciation of the whole counsel of God, including teachings on this wise. And so there were so many responses, very humbling ones, in fact, and testimonies that have followed these teachings. And a number of you sent emails commending how deeply you were impacted by the teachings. And for this, I'm really grateful. But I just recall to respond, some gentleman sent a text. Was it a text or an email? I can't remember exactly. Just asking a question that allow me a minute or two to respond, still concerning the teaching. And he said, Apostle, there are so many things to learn about finances. I'm not teaching about finances, but in the house of God, you receive everything, save for your consumption. Are we together? Praise God. And so he asked the question. He said, there are so many things, so many books, so many people speaking about finance. What should be, there's what we call for students area of concentration. You know that? Still remember? So when you have an elaborate course that looks like forever, sometimes you plead that they guide you on the areas of focus. And I was very inspired by that question because for me, it showed that the individual, whoever perhaps following, one was following carefully as I taught, and then number two was clearly desiring to have this as his, I believe, he or her experience. So let me just say this. When it has to do with the subject of finances, there are so many things to learn, but as far so learning about finances is like learning about a car. You don't need to know every part and the way everything works to be able to drive. Are we together? Yes. Now, there are those who are called mechanics or mechanical engineers or automobile engineers. They have that burden of learning everything, learning the dynamics. But for one who just wants to drive well and use the car to get to a destination, you save yourself the burden. It is always an advantage if you know the parts, but then there are just a few things you need to know. And if I am to summarize finances with respect to someone who just wants to prosper God's way and then to have enough resources to serve the purposes of God, allow me, I may break it down into just five areas where you really need to focus on. Number one would be your growth and transformation. One, that's the first thing you need to look at, your growth. You need to learn about the way finances work in the kingdom and then grow yourself spiritually. Anything in the kingdom starts with God as its epicenter, and that includes finances. So just because you are discussing the subject of finance does not mean you remove God or smuggle him somewhere. The equation remains the same. In the beginning, God. Once you compromise and you tamper with that formula and that sequence, there will be a side effect. So if I'm to help guide someone from point A to point B financially, my first talk with you will be to grow your spiritual life, because it's from the abundance of your spirit man that you are able to prosper God's way. Recall, I told you, it is possible to prosper financially, not loving God, not knowing God, not respecting him, but there are other components that will be missing in your life. The peace that only he can bring, the joy that only he can bring, rest round about. Are we together? There was a man in the Bible called a rich fool, So that man was a fool for a reason. And it is godliness that take away the foolishness part while leaving the rich part. Are we together? Only a fool will say in his heart, there's no God. So for that gentleman, focus number one on the area of your spiritual growth and transformation. We agreed last week that poverty is a spirit, is a mindset. And then there are various activities. You can change jobs, you can change location. But if carrying the same faulty thinking and under the influence of the same spirit, your outcomes will be the same. Are we learning? The second area to focus on will be to understand value. You must, or giving, let me say giving. You must understand giving. You want to prosper God's way. It's impossible to prosper God's way. In fact, anyway, without understanding giving. Giving is a pivotal subject as far as becoming blessed, wealthy, and experiencing abundance in the kingdom, giving in all its ramifications. Number three, you must focus on value, contribution, and productivity. If you're writing, start that statement. This is, it's not even my discussion, but I just felt stirred in my heart to respond to that gentleman. I'm showing you the areas to focus on. Value, contribution, and productivity. Value is a measure of your ability to provide solutions, to meet needs, and to solve problems. I'll say that again. A measure of your capacity to provide solutions, to meet needs, and to solve problems. And then productivity talks of refining your value and turning it into products and services. Are we together? Serving it with excellence to a targeted consumer base. We've observed time and again in this place that that usually is the missing link. When preachers preach on kingdom economics or finances, they sometimes skip away or do not emphasize enough the need to be valuable, the need to be a contributor, and the need to be productive. In addition to knowing and learning God, in addition to giving, it's important for you to know that you are dealing with men. There is a dimension of finances that is a product of transactions. Not every part of finances is transactional, but there's a major part of it that has to do with selling value or dispensing value. Are we together? So to the degree to which you are valuable, you are a contributor of it, and then you are productive. Many are valuable, but they are not productive. Meaning they have skills, they have things to do, but they've not been able to package their value into products and services. And some have, but they are lazy. They've not been able to find a targeted consumer base. And there are skills responsible for all of these things. Make reference to all my previous teachings on finances, as many as you can find. Hallelujah. And then, when you solve the issue of value, the next thing you have to look at, that's number four. Am I right on that? So number one, growth and transformation. Number two, you're looking at giving, studying giving. Number three, value, contribution, and productivity. Number four, you must study relationships. You cannot prosper financially in life and even in the kingdom if you do not understand relationships. It's called favor with men, Luke 2:52. And Jesus increased in wisdom, he increased in stature, he increased in favor with God and with men. You can have favor with God, but if you lack favor with men, many things will not happen in your life. Finances is one of them. Hallelujah. Relationships as such, if I am to draw a pie chart representing the emphasis, I would give a major part of that distribution to relationships, because relationship is an accelerator. Are we together? Relationship is an accelerator. I can sell a drink for $1 or sell a drink for whatever that amount is, 200 naira, say for instance, and I will need 1,000 people to get to $1,000. But with one relationship, I can receive the equivalence of that reward for 1 year because of the benevolence of someone. Relationship is an accelerator. sometimes an unfair accelerator. Hallelujah. And I've taught you that there are principles for commanding favor through relationships. One of it is the practice of honor. One of it is to be a mutual contributor to that relationship. Ensure your relationship is not one-sided. And where you cannot bring value, bring gratitude. Don't forget, every time you cannot contribute to another who is in the relationship, lavish it with gratitude. Gratitude is an equalizer. It will compensate for any value you have received. Are we together? Gratitude makes any relationship fair. If you cannot bring value, bring gratitude. Hallelujah. And then finally, you must understand the law of increase. Increase has to do with two dimensions. Number one, financial management systems, and number two, investments. In fact, three areas: financial management systems, that's where you talk of savings, you talk of planning, you talk of how to distribute and allocate resources according to your needs. Then you must understand investments. We still have other financial teachings coming in the course of the year, and I hope in one of them I would have the liberty to teach you a bit about investments. Most believers know nothing about investments. A few know about business, but most people do not know investments. There is only one way money multiplies: investments. Money does not multiply by doing business. It comes by doing business. The only way, not one of the ways, that money multiplies is by investment. And there are five levels of investment. So we'll save that for another day, just for you to know there's more. Are we together? And then you must learn to store your value. So when we're talking about the law of increase, it captures one, financial management systems, teaching you how to plan, teaching you how to distribute and allocate your resources wisely with wisdom. And then number two, learn investments. And then number three, you learn how to store your value. That was what the rich man, that was one of the things that made the man a fool. He didn't know how to store value. And so he built a big barn and put starch, whatever represented money in his day, and said, my soul find rest. And God said, no, you've done foolishly. Your soul is demanded of you. Hallelujah. We hardly have third or fourth generation wealth in Africa. There are not more than maybe four or five families at all that I'm aware of who have been able to pass wealth to the third and fourth generation, because most people stop at the realm of business. They only understand how to do business and to profit. Not many understand investments, and not many understand how to perpetuate wealth. I'm trusting that our generation will be able to change that narrative. Are we together? And there's a theology, or not a theology, there is a science to the depletion of wealth. Usually the first generation are those who labor, who plow the land. Father uneducated but hardworking, mother uneducated but hardworking, and in their generation they become wealthy. Then they pass it to the next generation, who become managers and consolidators. So they inherit millions already, and they are taught the principles to manage it. And that second generation usually will give birth to nonchalant children who don't know anything. You see how it declines? So it plateaus by the second generation, and the third generation are children who were born into billions. They are not interested in the business. They have a Rolls Royce as a birthday for 1 year old. You know, they have all kinds of things, and the children don't understand. And if not managed under their watch, they become prodigal children who bring those wealth back to zero. Then the fourth generation will have to start again, hand it over to their children, and then the children after them. Usually it's grandchildren that cause the problem. Grandchildren are the ones, because the children that come directly from the parents usually are witnesses. Even though they are small, they are witnesses of the sweat and the pain of the parents. But by the time grandchildren arise, there's no pain again. The pain factor is gone. They meet splendor, they meet honor, they meet every kind of thing. And if you don't find a way of taming to discipline them, they will cry for sweeping the room and call it punishment. So that kind of mindset already degenerates the children until they punish the fourth generation. Your children's children will not be like that. And if you happen to be a beneficiary of third generation wealth, learn this, what I've taught you. Even if the people around you are careless, remember that you met blessings. Don't leave curses to your children. In Jesus' name. I hope I attempted that gentleman, and I hope it has helped someone tonight. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen and amen and amen. Are you ready for tonight? Tonight I want to teach you, it's a prayer meeting, we're going to be praying, and I want to show you how to war with prophecy. I owe you to teach you how to command results, and I title my teaching tonight, It Came to Pass. I want to show you how to war with prophecy until you birth it. Two scriptures, the Lord grant us grace. Fasten your seatbelts. Let's go. Genesis 21 and verse 1. Thank you, Jesus. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, popular scripture. And the Lord did unto Sarah as he has spoken. Verse 2. And Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age at the set time. Take note, which God had spoken. Which God had spoken. Second scripture, 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 17 and 18. 1 Timothy 1, 17 and 18. 1 Timothy 1, 17 and 18. Give us verse 18, please. Okay. It says, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy. Paul is writing to his son in the gospel, according to the prophecies which went before thee, that thou mightest war a good warfare. So he's speaking to his son Timothy. Now, contextually, he's talking about fighting false prophecies and wrong doctrines. But then you can always give scripture a prophetic meaning. So the contextual meaning is found in verse 19. If you care to read verse 19, it says, holding faith and a good conscience, which some haven't put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. You know, and then it now tells to be able to ward off all of the falsehood. So he was speaking contextually with respect to fighting a good warfare and holding on to truth. But then I want to give it a prophetic interpretation tonight. It says, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that by them you might war a good warfare. The Lord bless the reading of his word in the name of Jesus Christ. To start with tonight, God is prophetic in his character. God in his character is prophetic. And there are many reasons why God is prophetic in his character. One is because he is spirit. Every spirit is prophetic in nature. Once you are a spirit, you have the advantage of being prophetic. Humans like God are prophetic in nature. There are those who are called into the office of the prophetic. There are those who operate the gift of the prophetic. But every man by design, the fact that you are a spirit has an implication that you are prophetic, because you have an advantage of the duality of realms. You can interact with the realm of the spirit as well as the physical realm. So God is prophetic in his character. For instance, we see him in Isaiah 46, 9 and 10, declaring the end from the beginning. The Bible says, Isaiah chapter 46, 9 and 10, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me. Read verse 10 with me, please. Ready? 1, 2, go. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. So the Bible is clear as to the fact that God is prophetic in his character. Among the many names that he has that represents his prophetic dimension is the name Alpha Omega, the name beginning, ending. Are we together? So he's the word and, like I have taught you, was an addition. The original text is not Alpha and Omega. It is Alpha, Omega, beginning ending. That means there is no process with God. I have taught you that God's knowledge is not progressive. He does not grow. There's no such thing as Him knowing better today than yesterday. For us, we see in part, we prophesy in part. Are we together? We grow line upon line, precept upon precept. But for God, His knowledge is absolute. So He does not need to wait for time to see what tomorrow is. In fact, in His economy, there is no such thing as tomorrow. I told you, God's realm is not even eternity. God's realm is now. All things are bare before Him. What you call next week and what you call last week is still now. That's why He can go into yesterday and correct something you cannot reach. Go into tomorrow and program something before you arrive. Are we together now? So He is not limited by time. Listen, He's not limited by space. Once we pass, I cannot go into yesterday again. Saturday as yesterday is gone forever. It will never come again. If God wants to do something about my Saturday, He will take the opportunities and fast forward them into my Monday, into my Tuesday. That's how God redeems time. But for God, He can go into yesterday and go into tomorrow. So the Bible can say, right from the foundations of the earth, the Lamb was slain. That is a language that man unassisted by the Spirit cannot understand. Do you understand that now? So God is prophetic in His character. Number two, the prophetic is part of how God deals with men. So He's not just prophetic in His character. He deals with men prophetically. Hosea chapter 12 and verse 10. We're discussing it came to pass, how to war with prophecy, how to stand in partnership with the Spirit of grace to enforce divine verdicts, divine speakings over our lives. It says, I have also spoken by the prophets, and I have multiplied visions. These are all prophetic expressions. And I have used similitudes, even by the ministry of the prophets. Hallelujah. Many times you find in scripture, God using dreams to speak to men. You find God using visions to speak to men. And when it had to do with the prophetic, it did not change. Even with the New Testament, we see Abraham having visions, Abraham having dreams, Abraham having direct encounters. It continued down to Gideon, continued down to the prophets, both major and minor. And then when we come into the New Testament, we see Joseph and Mary having dreams. We see Zechariah having angelic visitations. These are all prophetic expressions. So God has always and will always communicate to people prophetically. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Even the word of God, 2 Peter 1 verse 9. The word of God is called a more sure word of prophecy. 2 Peter 1:19. We have a more sure word of prophecy. So the Bible, scripture, documented, is called a more sure word of prophecy because the Bible says it came by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Holy men wrote as they were moved by the Spirit. So many of them did not understand what they were writing, but they wrote all the same by the Spirit of God. The prophetic is also how God deals with men. Remember the encounter of Paul. Remember the day of Pentecost. It was prophetic. God told them it will happen. He said to tarry in Jerusalem. And in Acts chapter 2, we see the fulfillment of that prophecy to an extent that the first sermon was acknowledging that prophetic word. When Peter began to teach, he said, no, we are not drunk. This is only but 9 o'clock in the morning. He said, but this is that which was prophesied by Joel, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Are we together? And then he began to speak. He made reference to David's prophecy. He made reference to several other things and credited that event as the fulfillment of the prophetic. So the prophetic is part of how God, a major part of how God deals with men. Now, like I have taught you in this house, there are essentially two levels of the prophetic with respect to how God reveals His will and His counsel to men. There is what we call the prophetic words as revealed in scripture. Let me make it simple for your understanding. Hallelujah. So the scriptural representation of the prophetic, or we call it general prophetic speakings of God. This is God's will that has been prophetically captured from or in scripture. 2 Peter 1:9, we read that. So there's the prophetic words as revealed in scripture. That is for the benefit of anyone who can find that scripture and appropriate it by faith. Let me digress for 1 minute so you understand this further. I taught you that the Bible has 3 layers of engagement. If you remember, number 1, you can engage the scripture from a historic archaeological standpoint. You still remember that when you interact with scripture, when you engage scripture, the first level of engagement is a prophetic or a historic and archaeological standpoint. So the Bible is a book of history, it's a capture of history, it's a capture of archaeology. Number 2, you can approach scripture from a doctrinal standpoint. Hallelujah. So you approach scripture as per the doctrines and the mysteries that have been kept inside, made for your edification and your growth. And then number 3, you can engage scripture prophetically. That means the Spirit of God can breathe upon a verse and seemingly take it out of context and coin it to be able to apply to your life. Because it is the Word of God, it can still bless you. It may not be public knowledge to everybody, but with respect to you and the Spirit, that scripture can be turned into a roadmap that makes for your victory. Are we together now? So you don't limit when you are engaging scripture, you must have this understanding that there is an archaeological / historic layer to scripture, there is a doctrinal layer to scripture, and then there is a prophetic layer to scripture. That's the reason why Jesus will look at the people and say, "Oh fools, and you are slow of learning. Ought not this, you know, he wrote certain things concerning himself. They read it, but they could not see it because the scrolls needed to be unlocked and the book needed to be opened." Hallelujah. I said that to mean that there are many things written here. Listen carefully, that you can read from a historic standpoint, it will not make sense, nor will it directly profit you. You can read from a doctrinal standpoint and it will bless you, but that the Bible is prophetic and you can find truth written there. Are we together? That applies to every believer and you can engage it for your profiting. For instance, the Bible says, "No weapon fashioned against you will prosper." When that scripture was documented, you were not born. And yet you can claim it and hold true to that scripture, and God is obliged by the integrity of his word and his person to bring it to fulfillment in your life. Are you following now? So there is the prophetic that is captured in scripture. The prophetic words as revealed in scripture. This is general for every believer who can engage with understanding. But there are personal prophetic words, revelations that are unique to you, that reveal the unique will of God to you. Hallelujah. An instance of this is found in Jeremiah chapter 1, when you read from verse 5 to 10. Now, because it is documented in scripture, you can apply it to your life. But it was uniquely, at that instance, it was written to one man, not everyone. The name of the person it was written to was clearly stated there, the young boy Jeremiah. "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. I ordained thee to be a prophet to the nations." Verse 6. And then Jeremiah said, "Ah, Lord, I cannot speak, for I am a child." The Lord said, "Say not, I am a child, but thou shalt go to all that I send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak." Verse 8. It says, "Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord." 2 more verses. "Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth." It was a unique encounter to Jeremiah. And the Lord said, "Behold, I have put my words in your mouth." Verse 10. "See, I have this day set thee, Jeremiah, over nations and over kingdoms, to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to build, and to plant." Hallelujah. So there are general prophetic words as captured in scripture, applicable to every believer who can find light through it, as guided by the Spirit of wisdom. And then there are specific prophetic words that God can bring to you directly by speaking to you or through the ministry of the prophetic. If you're understanding me so far, say amen. Hallelujah. So we've established that God is prophetic in his character, and that the prophetic is a major part of how he deals with men. The Bible came prophetically. The Bible is understood prophetically in many instances. Are we together? There's an intellectual side to it, but to derive light from scripture, you have to be prophetic. John said, I was in the spirit, not I was brilliant. I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. That was the basis of his seeing and comprehending certain spiritual realities. Now, write this down, please. No prophetic word comes to pass by default. No prophetic word comes to pass by default. There are very few prophetic words that come to pass without the interruptions of men. Usually those prophetic words are called written judgments. They are written, they are already sealed by the integrity of God. Are we together? For instance, the imminent destruction of Satan, the imminent destruction of wicked spirits, the imminent destruction of all those whose names are not found in the Lamb's Book of Life. Nobody can pray and intercede against that happening. A man's believing it or not believing it will not stop it to pass. You can only escape from it, but you cannot stop it from happening. Are we together? But aside from that, every other prophetic word depends on man's ability to understand and engage it appropriately. So no prophetic word, with the exception of a few as recorded in scripture, comes to pass by default. Prophecies always demand human participation. Write that down. Prophecies always demand human participation to come to pass. It means when you have found truth in scripture, prophetic for your lifting, prophetic for your rising, or if God communicates to you, either directly in the place of prayer or through a trusted prophetic vessel, it does not necessarily mean it will come to pass. Herein lies the disappointment of many believers. They will say, God told me, I heard him, he said this. Or a man of God whose prophetic track record I can trust, whose integrity I can trust, said this, and yet it did not come to pass. Because prophecies do not usually come to pass by default. They require human participation. And this really is what we are going to be dealing with tonight as we prepare to pray. Hallelujah. That God can speak to you, can speak to you about ministry, can speak to you about family, can speak to you about your finances, about your children, and you will be surprised that throughout the course of your entire lifetime, you may not see that prophecy come to pass. And yet the Bible says, let God be true and all men liars. Are we together? Many believers just shout amen and they shout, I receive two prophetic words, and then they believe that that's the end of it. And here Paul is teaching us something about prophecy. He said, this charge, it's a charge I give unto you, my son Timothy. I want to encourage you, prophetic words have gone ahead of you, but you need to appreciate them. You need to engage them and use them and engage them and use them as weapons to war a good warfare. I'm praying for someone that as we begin to pray, every word, prophetic word that has been spoken, every word you have found in scripture, because God's speakings are yea and amen. Are we together now? He is consistent. He dwells in unapproachable light in whom there is no variableness. That means God does not play April Fool with men. When he speaks, he means what he says. If it does not come to pass, it means something has happened at the end of man. Your own side of the equation was not met. I'm praying for you as you learn and begin to engage tonight. For some of you, you will find prophecies coming to pass like rain. It will come upon you one word after another in the name of Jesus Christ. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. If God speaks, it is because it is within himself to bring it to pass. But he has designed an economy that requires and demands man's participation. And most men have failed to understand. You know, sometimes the awareness of how mighty God is, it makes you feel flattered. Do I really have to contribute to bringing God's word to pass? And you know, sometimes we say things like, God, if you speak, who can stand against you? And that is true. We're trying to acknowledge the extent of his sovereign power. It says, "Our Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power. There's nothing that is too difficult for you." It is true that God is mighty. By the breath of his nostrils, he can part the Red Sea hither and thither. So you can imagine how mighty such a God is. And sometimes when you comprehend the magnitude of his might and power, it can lead to a negative side effect, because you feel, God, with the snap of your finger, you can bring anything you've said to pass in my life. And so sometimes it makes us to shelve into irresponsibility, and we feel God is mighty. Don't worry, his word will come to pass. But you need to understand how he has designed his system, that as mighty as he is, he likes man to participate in the birthing of anything prophetic as far as man's destiny is concerned. And for many of us, we have limited the mighty God because we have refused to understand and to engage as far as our participatory role is concerned. But tonight, things will change. In the name of Jesus, things will change. Do you know, many of us, if God were to show you the prophetic calendar of your destiny, you will be in tears. Because based on God's script for you, there are some things, are we together now? There are certain accomplishments, there are certain things that should have happened in your life. If God were to open your eyes, you will see that by now, you should not be begging. By now, church should not be small. Are we together? By now, your children should be around your table. But don't feel discouraged. That's why we are here. The thing about prophecy is that once you can walk with God, you can engage. God can redeem time. And he can bring that prophetic word to pass. There is hope for him who is joined to the living. Are we together now? Let this create a sense of urgency in your life. What has God scheduled that should have happened in my yesterday, that I'm now in my today and it has not happened? I can tell you, it is not God's problem. Every time there is a failure in prophetic manifestation, it is not a God problem. You need to understand how to engage with prophecy. Someone shout, say, "I engage with the prophecy concerning my destiny." Shout it again. Say, "I engage with the prophecy concerning my destiny." Based on God's prophetic blueprint, by now the anointing, the mantle of your call should have arrived. But you are still there trying to learn the preliminaries of the kingdom, because you do not know that the arrival of prophecy does not mean the manifestation of it. When God speaks, you don't just say amen and fold your arms. When God speaks, it's the beginning of your warfare. When God speaks, there is a participatory role. And you know, the way God speaks, I have taught you, he does not speak to men like he's talking to men. He speaks to men like he's talking to himself. So when God speaks, it does not factor within his speakings that there will be obstacles. It does not factor within his speakings that there will be challenges. God does not talk like that. He would tell you, "Go to Pharaoh," as if he did not know Pharaoh is a stubborn man. He would tell you, "Go and bring my people out." It is up to you to know how to insist. You know what that means? For someone here, you are going to stay where God spoke till that word comes to pass. And every lie of the devil to tell you, "Oh, God has spoken, I have waited. I decree and I declare fresh strength to stay until God's word comes to pass. Receive it in the name of Jesus. The Lord spoke to us that this is, we are in the days of his power. This is March, and you've not seen that manifestation. You don't stop until you see his word manifest. Are we together? Do you know how many prophetic words that he's spoken concerning you? Let me just take scriptural prophetic words. "Though your beginning be small." Is that in your Bible? It says your latter end. For some of you, your latter end has still remained small. That means you have warfare to do tonight. To say, "God, I am seeing a disparity between the things you have said and the things happening." Though your beginning be small, it says that your latter end should. It never said will. It should. But if you fold your arms, it will remain small forever. Hallelujah. Prophetic speakings. That Gentiles will come to your light. Where are they? I've been waiting forever. Where are the Gentiles? I have my light, but they are not coming. It means there is an enemy intercepting their arrival. Because he said, "I desire to come to you. Even I, Paul, once and again. But Satan hindered us."
So in the place of prayer, you need to stand that every spirit that is stopping the manifestation of prophecy. Are we together now? Daniel understood by books that the time of the captivity of God's people in Babylon had been fulfilled, and he went into prayer. And from the first day he went into prayer, the Bible says that Gabriel was bringing answers. And whilst he was on his way coming, that the prince of the power of the air over Persia withstood him 21 days until Michael the archangel was sent to come. Listen, this is very powerful. This is not an Old Testament concept. The realm of the spirit does not have Old and New Testament. Old and New Testament is a reality in the world of men. The realm of the spirit has a consistent modus operandi. Satan always fights the arrival of prophecy. Hallelujah. I hope this is getting you angry. What has God said that has refused to come to pass? What has God said? He said, after you have suffered a while, your own suffering is gone past a while. A while has a definition. A while has jurisdictions. When it goes beyond a while, that one is not training again. That one is an attack. It is oppression. The prophecy was for 400 years in captivity. But they went past 430 years until God found a man. I'm praying for someone already. Where you have passed your prophetic calendar and nothing has happened, I decree and declare, may God backdate your blessing and manifest it in your life. May my God backdate your blessing and manifest it in your life. In the name of Jesus, please be seated. Please be seated. Prophetic words do not just come to pass. The saints must understand that there is a participatory responsibility. A participatory responsibility. I repeat again, a participatory responsibility. Folding your arms and saying, I know God said his word will come to pass. Now, when you read like Genesis 21 verse 1, when you read that scripture, you will think it was all about God and his word. But that's wonderful, but not enough. The Bible tells us that there were things Abraham and Sarah were doing that made that word come to pass. Isaiah 51, it says, look unto Abraham your father and to Sarah that bore thee. It says, for I called him alone and I blessed him and I increased him. Abraham did not become a father of faith just because God said it. Do you know there are many things God said in the Bible that did not happen? Because the human agents who will come into partnership with him, there was no mention of a prophetic word that the kingdom will leave Saul and go to David. There was no mention of that. Did the Bible not say Samuel, the same Samuel, prophesied and said, God has destined that you be a captain over his inheritance. There was no mention in prophecy that the first set of people who left Egypt would die in the wilderness. No. The prophecy that brought them out was that they will go to a land flowing with milk and honey. And Bible history tells us it was about a 40 days journey. And yet from that whole generation, only Joshua and Caleb, two out of 2.something million people. You will not miss prophecy. I'm saying it to you in the name of Jesus Christ. You will not see another person living out prophecy that you know is your own. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now sit down, please. Let me teach you something. There are certain prophetic words. Listen, please. There are certain prophetic words that are not specific to any individual. It is an overall program of God. And he places those prophetic words with dates. Now, the way those prophetic words come to pass is that any vessel or any people that understand and pick it. So the prophecy is not tied to an individual. Are we together? It comes like rain. Whoever is available and can bring his bucket will receive it. An instance, I've taught you here. The name of Judas was never mentioned as the person to betray Jesus, but there was a prophecy about betraying Jesus. So a man needed to fulfill that condition, and Judas happened to be the man. So all his misbehavior as a small child was training him to fit that prophecy. Disobedience is also preparation. You are preparing yourself to fulfill a prophecy. Are we together now? How about Mary? The Bible says a virgin shall conceive. It didn't say her name is Mary. There was a young virgin. That means if Mary rejected the prophecy, the Holy Spirit will find another virgin and say, are you interested? Hallelujah. Jesus said, I have many things to tell you, but ye cannot bear them now. How be it when he, the Spirit of truth, is come? He never said it will come through Paul. There was no prophetic word like that. There were other people who encountered Jesus called Nicodemus. They would have fulfilled that prophecy too. Paul was a Pharisee. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. And yet there was a man, he had the zeal, he had the preparedness. Listen, I'm telling you this by the power that raised Christ from the dead. One, may you never fulfill a negative prophecy. That a prophet should not come to your house and say someone is going to cause mama pain, and then you become the fulfillment of it. And if there is any such prophecy on your head, I cancel it from your life. I cancel it from your life. I cancel it from your life. Please be seated. Hallelujah. So there are prophetic words that have no names. Any individual who comes in alignment with the Spirit of grace. So God, for instance, now there's what we call his predeterminate counsel. And within the scope of his predeterminate counsel, there are individuals who have been apportioned already from the eons of time to fulfill certain roles. Now, even at that, because God does not force men, the men can reject his word. They can, as an act of their will, reject it. And God will take their bishopric and give another person. I have taught you here, there are people right now who are living out the assignments of others, and the others are still alive, and they can know by the Spirit that what this man of God is doing. Are we together now? Vashti can know that where Esther is sitting is her position. You can know it. I wish we had the time. I would have shown you that the first person God came to speak to was Terah, the father of Abraham, not Abraham. Read your Bible. The first person God came to was not Abraham. It was Terah, his father. So when Jesus came, the Bible says he found where it was written concerning him. Watch this. The same Jesus who found where it was written concerning him now said, Father, if it be your will, take this cup off me. Meaning he had the power to abort that project as a savior, and God would have respected it. Salvation would have come from another place. I hope you know that the fact that he came as the Son of God did not mean he had to die. He had the power to reject the plan out of pain. If it comes to pass, it is not only because God spoke. If it comes to pass, it is because man has learned how to war with prophecy. If it comes to pass that you become a multi-billionaire, it is not because a prophet spoke and it came to pass. No. It is because you heard it. I'm going to be showing you the dynamics of warring with prophecy. Are we together? If you become an anointed man shaking the kingdoms of darkness, it is not just because prophecy came. It is because man learned how to engage. Please listen to what I'm telling you. There are many people whose lives are full of prophecies and none has come to pass. They just write it and keep looking at it every day and say, I know, I know, and days become weeks, weeks become months, months become years, years become decades. I came here tonight as a prophetic midwife to show you what to do and to push you into the next level of your life. Hallelujah. The Bible says my times are in your hands, meaning that God has a timetable. Hear me, please. God has a timetable for the events of any man. Your level of alignment is the degree to which you are at par with his timetable. Occasionally, we can lag for many reasons. We lag because of insensitivity. We lag because of carelessness. We lag because of backsliding. We lag because of satanic oppression. But what one of the definitions of repenting is to get back to God's alignment, calendar, not just turning away from sin. Are we together now? That you look at God's script for you. What did he plan your 2025 to be? And then you obtain grace to catch up very quickly. For someone, in the name of Jesus, because of the disparity between God's desire and where you are, you will need speed in your life, and may that speed come on you. May it come on you in the name of Jesus. Please be seated. If it ever comes to pass, it is not just because the Almighty God spoke it. It is because men heard him, they received it, and they have been trained to engage that word to come to pass. Let me tell you this. Look at me. Do you know, I can hear God say something concerning my life and it never comes to pass. And someone else may not hear what God said, but walk in obedience. He will still fulfill what God said, even though he did not hear it. Your obedience is more important than your hearing. Your hearing is powerful, but your obedience, the person who did not hear but obeyed the word, will get more result than the person who heard and remained assuming. I'm telling you, there are people today who have endless visions about ministry, endless visions about exploits in the kingdom, but none will seem to come to pass. But there are people who, from simple childlike faith, they carried their Bibles and they read. I sought for a man and they said, Lord, I'm here, send me. No spectacular vision. And they began to engage the things that war with prophecy. They are serving the Lord in ministry today, whereas someone still has notebooks of prophetic words and none has come to pass. There was a word that a savior will be born, and a woman who was a prophetess. You know, for most of us, we think prophecy or the gift or the grace or the office of prophets is about prophesying. Here is a woman who was called Anna the prophetess. There was no mention of her doing any foretelling. Her assignment was to stay with God with one information and pray it until Jesus manifested. And the Bible calls her a prophetess and not a failed one. We have a narrative that once you are a prophet or a prophetess, you must say, thus saith the Lord. No, no, no. There are people who can receive the gift of prophecy, but they are not prophets. Are we together now? Yeah. Because the prophetic can come by impartation. It can come by election. It can come by association. Hallelujah. You can be preordained by God to be a prophet. Are we together? You can receive an impartation to walk in the prophetic, but you can receive the prophetic by implication of your spiritual association. Who is learning tonight? I have watched with pain how many believers have this false sense of confidence that one day, without doing anything on their own part, what God has said must come to pass. And sometimes we say things like, I know the God that I serve, and you are right. He's a mighty God. But if you don't understand the dynamics of his workings, you may be disappointed. And at the end, people will come and tell you, where is that your God? And you will not have an answer. My assignment tonight is to not let that day come to pass in your life, where someone will have to ask you, where is your God? Are we together? Praise the name of the Lord. God is prophetic. Do you know there was a divine verdict from heaven that the solution to man's sin problem was the shedding of blood? But for as long as Jesus remained in heaven as the Word, that reality did not come to pass. One day, when the fullness of time came, Jesus, as an act of his will, are we together? As a spirit passed through the womb of a woman and was born of flesh, the Bible tells us, and grew like a child, began to learn the law from age 12. By the time he got to 30, he started his assignment, died, was buried, fulfilled his assignment, resurrected, ascended to the Father. And then the demands, legal claims of justice were fulfilled. And that birthed the new and living way to get me and you saved today. So when you say, I am saved, it's because God declared it that he wants all men saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. But Jesus, as a man, had to partner with prophecy. I hope you know that the entire journey of Jesus on earth was warfare. Go and read your Bible. While he was on earth, it was warfare. People hated him, but he had to keep that prophetic word in front of him, and he fought the good fight of faith. When he went to Hades, he did not go there for celebration. It was warfare. Read your Bible. Apostle Paul tells us that the cohorts of hell were on him. Are we together now? Forcing him to bow to the lordship of Satan. But the Bible says he made a public show of them, triumphing over them in it. And he opened the gates, according to Apostle Peter, and all the departed saints who were in Hades, the place of the dead, they filed out with him together. When he resurrected as the firstborn, no longer the only begotten, but the first. And other departed saints who had died expecting that promise, expecting that prophecy, the Bible says they came out, graves were open, and they walked round the streets of Jerusalem. There are men of God who, based on the prophetic script of their lives, should be shaking nations for Jesus. There are women of God who, based on the prophetic script of their lives, should be shaking nations for Jesus. There are ministries based on the prophetic script of their life. They should be making global impact for Jesus. There are businesses based on God's prophetic blueprint, should be transcontinental in their influence and operation. But many have been small because they do not understand the responsibility of warring with prophecy. Say, I obtain grace. Shout it with annoyance. Say, I obtain grace to war with prophecy. Say it again. I obtain grace to war with prophecy. Now, let me tell you this. Whether the prophetic word comes as revealed in scripture, or it comes by a declaration from God to you, know this for sure. You are not the only one who hears the prophecy over your destiny. Satan, demon spirit, and sometimes wicked men also hear that prophecy. Are we together now? I'll give you an instance. Now, forgive me, but how many of you know that there are people today whose destinies were exchanged because of who had something concerning them? Are we together now? It is true. The activity of evil men. Was it not because Rebekah heard what Isaac was going to do to Esau? That was what led to what happened. If she was not there that day, Esau would go and bring venison and he would receive the blessing. But Rebekah stood by the door and she heard what Isaac. Rebekah is not a demon spirit. Rebekah is not an ancestral curse. She's just a passionate mother who loved Esau, and when she had, or loved Jacob, when she heard what happened, Jacob, come, I've heard something. Your father is about to release what made him him, that came from Abraham, his own father. Quickly, your brother has gone to the wilderness. I will make you venison. And Jacob said, but I am not hairy. He's blind, but he will feel me and he will know. He said, don't worry. Your brother is a hairy man. You are not hairy, but we'll work out something. And he carried the venison and put hair. And when Isaac felt him, he said, there is a mystery. The voice is the voice of Jacob, but the body is the body of Esau. That's a message for another day. That a man, when you understand this, No, let me not use this. This, listen, this right here you see is a strategy that you will need to use, not in a demonic way. This is what it means to be sheep in the midst of wolves. If you are a sheep in the midst of wolves, you have to learn to wear the coat of wolves, yet you are a sheep. So they think you are together, but it's your heart that will show. Hallelujah. So the voice is that of Jacob, but the hair is that of Isaac. And he said, are you sure you are the one? He said, yes. So he took the venison and he blessed him. He blessed him. He blessed him. He said, come now, my son. And he began to bless him. He kissed him and he said, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field that the Lord had blessed. 28 Genesis. It says, therefore God give you the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth, my God, and plenty of corn and wine. He said, let people serve thee and nations bow down to you. Be Lord over your brethren and let your mother's sons. That's where it affected Esau. Let your mother's sons bow down to you. He said, cursed is any man that curses you, and blessed is any man that blesses you. Verse 30. And it came to pass. Isaac went rejoicing. I've gotten it. And then Esau now came. I'm digressing to show you something. Esau arrives and he says, here is your venison. And he says, what mistake did I make? You are Esau, someone has deceived me. Watch this. He said, where is he that has taken the venison? He brought it to me and I ate it before you came and I have blessed him and he shall be blessed. Now listen to me. Do you know what this means? Based on that prophetic speaking, Jacob should serve, should be Lord over Esau. Esau should serve Jacob. Are we together now? I'll show you a scripture. Give it to us. Let's continue. I want to show you a scripture. Isaac trembled exceedingly and said this and that. Let's go to verse 34, please. When Esau heard these words, he cried because he knows the power of prophecy. And he said, bless me, even also. Bless me. Verse 35. And he said, thy brother came with subtlety, and he has taken away your blessing. But let me show you something, verse 6. He said, it is not he rightly named Jacob, for he had supplanted these two times and took away thy birthright, and now he has taken away your blessing. And now hast thou not reserved any blessing for me? He was asking his father. Watch this now. And Isaac answered and said, Esau, behold, I have made him thy Lord. How did I make him thy Lord? Prophecy. And all his brethren I have given to him for servants, and with corn and wine I have sustained him. And what shall I do now unto thee, my son? He says, Esau said unto his father, hast thou but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted his voice and wept. 39. And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, behold, thy dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth and the dew of heaven from above. 30. And by thy sword shall thou live, and thou shalt serve your brother. But it shall come to pass, when thou shalt have the dominion, thou shalt break his yoke. Listen, listen, listen. No prophecy is allowed to be permanent if you don't agree with it. Listen to me. No prophecy is allowed to be permanent if you don't agree with it. Mary had to say, be it unto me. That means there are prophetic words. When God gives you a prophetic word, you have a right to say, yeah and amen, I agree. Or you have a right to say, I reject it. Are we together now? So if someone says he will not be well with you, Make no games, that's a prophetic word. But you can say, no way, I have the will that God gave me. I cancel that prophecy, I reject it. He told Esau, he said, I have spoken from my heart. But a day will come when you understand the mysteries of dominion. You will know how to break that yoke. Talk to me. What breaks the yoke? What breaks the yoke? The anointing can break any yoke, including yokes that came by prophecy. Hallelujah. Let me tell you the truth. When you find people excelling, it's not because it's only good prophecies that have come. They have selected the ones they said amen to. There are certain prophecies. You said, Joshua Selman, it will not be well with you. Unfortunately, it depends on my approval to happen. If you said, Joshua Selman, you will not rise. Unfortunately, it depends on my participation. Are we together now? Yes, sir. If you say I'm the head, I will say amen. Let it come to pass. You say Koinonia is going from glory to glory, I say amen. Now, believers, hear me. It doesn't matter who prophesies to you. If you don't receive it, you believe me. Fear is also a way of receiving. Most of you don't know when you received a negative prophecy. You didn't receive it by saying, I received it. You fear is like opening your door and saying, any spirit can come in. Many people have received, not just by faith. We have been taught that the only way to receive is by faith. There is a way you receive by fear. So when the devil manipulates dreams and makes things look like you are finished, is a proposal he's giving you. He's using fear to force you to receive and give access to the manifestation of a prophetic word. Are we together? Do you know how many, I don't want to cause any issue, but do you know how many people whose death has been prophesied for many years and they have refused to die? Come on now, talk to me. You know how many people, and those who saw it were not lying. They saw their death and they announced it. But one thing they did not know is when you understand dominion, Isaac was educating Esau that prophecy only comes to pass if you do not understand the mysteries of dominion. You know what is the mystery of dominion? Let it happen in earth as it is in the heavens. And it is by laws that heavens are regulated. Even salvation is not imparted by force. Why will a curse be imparted by force? If I can reject Jesus, is it a curse I cannot reject? He gave me the power to reject him. I can reject anything, it doesn't matter. The Bible says, as many as received him. Hallelujah. I assure you, not everything will come to pass in my life. I have the responsibility of filing prophecies, both negative and positive, and sitting with the Holy Spirit on the control room of my destiny to say, this one I agree, this one I agree, this one no way, this one no way, ah, this one no way, pain like father like son, no way, this one failure, no way, this one untimely death, no way. And at the end of it, you say amen. When you say it comes to pass, you are not saying anything spoken. It is dangerous for your brain, your mind, your spirit to be open to every word. The Bible calls certain words the scorching tongues of man. If it will come to pass, it must be the word of God. If it must come to pass, it must be for my good. If it must come to pass, it must be for my rising. If it will come to pass, it must be for my lifting. If it will come to pass, it's to reveal the glory of God in my life. Anything outside that, I have the power, understanding the mysteries of dominion, have the power to break any yoke, to turn any prophetic word, that is negative to not. In Jesus' name we pray. Please be seated. I'm going to quickly give you five keys. I want to show you how to war with prophecy. Listen, if you believe what I'm teaching you tonight, you will marvel and wonder at how the Bible says how forcible are right words. The word of God is potent, but it depends on the understanding of the saints on how to engage that word. There's a popular saying by believers. God said it, help those under the anointing. I believe it. And they say it settles it. It's not a very accurate statement. It looks very spiritual, but it's not. God said it, you believe it. It doesn't settle it, sir. It's only in heaven that word is settled. But on earth, he said, forever, oh Lord, your word is settled. Where? Forever dimension is in heaven. In your life, there is warfare. The word became flesh. Became. Hallelujah. While preparing for this, let me tell you, I took time yesterday into today. I took time to pray myself and say, Lord, what are the things you've said concerning me? He said, great things I have spoken concerning you. God has spoken. It is up to you to war. And some of you are literally swimming in an ocean of the annoyance of people translated as prophetic words. Annoyance they spoke to your father, it transferred to you. And you are not doing anything about it. You are just watching. When it happens, you say, ah, they said it all. No. No, sir. Let me give you the keys. Please be seated. I'll give you the first key, then we'll pray in the spirit. Warring with prophecy. Five keys that can help any believer. The word war talks about the overall spiritual process of establishing the speakings of God, coming into alignment with it, coming into agreement with it, until it is made manifest in your life. Number one, what is the first key? If you want it to come to pass, the speakings of God, whether that which is revealed in scripture or that which is spoke to your spirit. Are you ready? Verify that the prophetic word is consistent with God's character and God's will for you. That's the first way to war with prophecy. You have to verify that the prophetic word that you have received is consistent with God's character and consistent with God's will for your life. There are many people who do not know that it is dangerous to receive what is not the will of God. And the only way to know what is the will of God is to get to the word. The Bible talks to us about knowing, growing in the will of God. Give us Colossians 1 and verse 9, please. Colossians 1 and verse 9. The will of God. Colossians 1 and verse 9. It says, for this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. Listen, and to desire that he might be filled with the knowledge of his will. Filled with what? The knowledge of his will. In all wisdom and spiritual understanding. When you read, I think Ephesians from verse 5 and from verse 13, 14, 15, it says, walk circumspectly as wise. Are we together? Not as unwise. Look for that scripture for me. Redeeming the time because the days are, verse 15. All right, let's go to 16. It says, redeeming the time because the days are evil, 17. Beautiful. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, it says, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. I have taught you here, the greatest way to redeem the time is to know what the will of God is early and to pursue it. Because he's teaching here that one way to waste time is to keep dilly-dallying options. That the more, the quicker, the earlier you know what the will of God is, you will redeem time, because your pursuit will be definite, it will be circumspect. So he says, walk circumspect as wise and not as fools. Are we together? Redeeming the time. How do you know the time? Or how do you know how to redeem the time? By 17, subscribing to what the will of the Lord is. So when the devil wants to waste your time, one of the things he does is he fights to see that you don't know the will of God per season, per time. Because he knows that if you don't know the will of God, you are forced to mark time. And no matter how long, is somebody learning what I'm telling you? Every time direction is not known, speed must reduce. You always reduce speed when you don't have a clear knowledge of direction. So if you are going to go to a place and you are suspecting that it's any one of these buildings, you can't be running on 70, 80, 120. You will have to slow. Sometimes you even have to park the car and come out and begin to knock from door to door. But how many of you have seen yourself go to your own house? Under normal conditions, you should not be confused where you live. Are we together? Sometimes with speed. To a point where, don't do it, but to a point where even drunk people can get back home. You've seen that happen? That someone who is not in his mind, but because he has gained mastery on how to get to his location, he will get back home, and then later on he will realize he got home. Verify that the prophetic word is consistent with God's character and God's will. Look up. Let me give you an example. So someone speaks over your life and tells you, I see you dying, for instance. Or you begin to sense in your spirit that the spirit of death is around you. And then you find a confirmation in scripture. Now, let me tell you this. Provided it is inconsistent with God's character, the way you engage with it is to reject it. But now I'm talking about the ones that are positive. So someone tells you, I see you getting a job, I see you getting a promotion, or you just read in scripture that you are blessed, you are highly favored, you know, say to the righteous, it is well with them. The first thing you need to ask yourself is this prophetic word, one, consistent with God's character, number two, consistent with his will? And I taught you about the will of God extensively, that there is the general will of God as revealed in scripture. Are we together? But then there is the revealed will of God by the Spirit. Verify. Now I want to ask you a question. Is increase the will of God? Is longevity the will of God? Is ever increasing glory the will of God? Is it the will of God for you to be strong? Is it the will of God for you to know him? Is it the will of God for you to see your children's children? You see that? That means any word that is consistent with God's character, any word that is consistent with his will as revealed in scripture, you can receive it by faith. That step one is very important. Do you know that most believers shout amen to everything? I know sometimes it's out of respect for men of God. Even when the man of God is making a mistake, they still shout amen. Then later they, what did I say? Oh, may your enemies be greater than you. Amen. And then they later realize, I know sometimes they do it from a well-meaning heart, but you need to be careful. Hear before you shout amen. Use your ear gate. What is this man saying? What is the word saying? What is this dream saying? Should I say amen or should I cast it out of my life? So you have a dream, you are in a grave. You have a dream, like some of the lady was saying, you are in secondary school, writing exams. You have all kinds of dreams. Talk to me, intelligent believers. When you wake up from that dream, what do you do? Let me tell you what most believers do. They wake up and say, life. Wow. And you think because you sympathize with yourself. You see, the realm of the spirit is strict in its operation. I'm telling you, if you don't know this, you will make certain mistakes that will destroy your destiny. You wake up from that kind of thing in the name of Jesus. I have the power to choose. The power of the Holy Ghost is at work in me. No. Now, you don't just say, I reject. You reject on what basis? The word of God must be the basis of your engaging the prophetic. Don't just say, I reject. Some of you will wind your hand around your head and drop it. You are joking. The realm of the spirit does not respect that, sir. Have you seen people do that thing? Yes. No, sir. That is not how we reject things in the spirit. Maybe that's how you reject it, you know, at home. But in the spirit, you reject by countering it with, it is written. That which is written is the only one that has the power to stop any arsenal of darkness. It is written, I shall not die. My contract with death based on this dream is terminated in the name of Jesus Christ. You get up in the morning and you're feeling some funny pain. And you now, most of you, this is what you do. You go online, and it's important. Go online. What happens when you have pain at your back? And someone who will be there online with tears saying, this is how I didn't know I had cancer. My pain was like that. You say, if you are feeling pain at this exact point, and that's your point. And the devil now says, cancer, cancer. How old are you? 25, 35. And you say, no, 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 no. So this is how I'm going to die. Believers don't work like that. Remember, there is a spirit waiting for your permission. That spirit you call cancer, you don't need to have pain. It is everywhere. It is waiting for who will receive it. Join me to cast it out of your life in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. That every tree that has not been planted in this body, I am the planting of the Lord. There are seeds he planted. There are things he did not plant. I decree and declare, anything in my body, my Bible says he keepeth his bones and none is broken. Any planting that is not of the Lord, I cast it, I flush it out of my body. Hallelujah. Now you see, listen, sit down. Let me teach you something. The difference between expressing fear and manifesting faith is whose word you are using. Listen, the difference between expressing fear and manifesting faith is whose word you are using. If you are using your words of lamentation, no, Satan, leave me alone. That is fear. It only becomes faith if what you are saying has a basis in the word. Most people do not respect the word of God. And that's the reason why anything comes to pass. You don't need to hear a prophetic word that Satan hates you. You know it. Are we together now? You don't need to hear a prophetic word that the whole world lies in wickedness. It already lies in wickedness. You don't need to hear a prophetic word that Satan is determined to destroy you and destroy everything that is of God in your life. But ladies and gentlemen, please listen to me. You must verify. You want to war with prophecy? Don't start receiving things carelessly. Now, with all due respect, if you find an individual who prophesies to you, I thank God for what God is doing across, you know, the prophetic circles. There is a growing appreciation for the word of God. And so it is helping to dispense the prophetic accurately. Else before, it used to be anything, I say it as I see it. If you see anything, people just say it carelessly and then cause fear. But now people are able to filter the things they see through the lens of scripture. And they know what is edifying and what is not edifying. That even if it's a negative prophecy, it shouldn't stop as announcing it as a negative prophecy. This is what Satan intends to do. However, the reason why God made me see it is so that I can counsel it. Are we together now? If God shows me something negative, there are times you hear me announce things that seem negative, but we have to pray and we have to take the advantage of God's dominion principles to counsel that word. Let me tell you the truth. It is not a plus to a man of God when a negative prophecy comes to pass. It doesn't necessarily show you are anointed. It shows you can see, but you don't have the power to change it. So if God shows me that someone is going to go down and die, and I announce it, somebody is going to go down, and then it happens. It may show that I saw well, but the real dominion is in the power to change that outcome. Is someone learning? Praise the name of the Lord. Verify. Let me give you number two quickly. Are you ready? Where you verify that the prophetic word, whether from scripture or as spoken by the Lord directly to you by his spirit, or as spoken by a prophetic voice, when you see that that is consistent with God's will for you as revealed in scripture, the next key, believe the prophetic word. Luke 1:45. Believe the prophetic word. Blessed is she that believe, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. Those things which were told her from the Lord does not automatically find performance or manifestation in her life. She must believe. She must believe. God has spoken great things. I believe. I believe. The Bible says, it says, let us fear lest there remaining a rest for the people of God that we should come short of it. It says, for the word was preached to them as much as it was preached to us, but the word did not profit them, not be mixed with faith in them that heard it. Hallelujah. Believe the prophetic word. Question: what prophetic word should you believe? What prophetic word should you receive? What prophetic word should you agree with? Number one, that which is edifying. Number two, that which brings glory to the name of the Lord. Number three, even if negative, that which has been countered by the word of God. Are we together? You don't just believe a word because it is accurate. No, there are many words that are accurate but would destroy you. Accuracy is wonderful, but that should not be the ultimate basis of believing a prophetic word. If you depend on accuracy alone, you will believe a lot of words of sorcery too. You will believe a lot of words from diviners. Men of God are not the only ones who are accurate. There are people, there are witches and wizards. Any spirit can access a certain measure of reality and information from the spirit and bring it to you. Hallelujah. I cannot believe anything that I cannot think on. The only thing I can believe is anything my mind can also meditate on it freely. The Bible says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, you know, if there be any good report, if there be any praise, it says, think on these things. So any prophetic word that does not capture these elements, the things that make for peace, the things that reveal God in my life, the things that are pro-destiny, bringing me advancement. Are we together? If you prophesy negatively over me, I will not cast it yet. I will listen to your response concerning it. Apostle, you are going to die. I'm still listening. That's just the word for you. No, sir. That one is, I won't say back to sender, but I will say go somewhere else. Are we together now? Praise the name of the Lord. I will die? No. I refuse. I reject it. Not out of fear, because I need to be here for a long time. Why should I die? We have a conference coming in May. We have a conference coming in. The dead cannot praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, Apostle, if you die, it's rest. You are joking. Rest in peace for me is not death. Rest in peace for me is dominion. Dominion. I don't rest in peace when I die. I rest in peace when God gives me rest roundabout. And that happens by dominion. Are we together? Yes. Apostle, why are you talking about death? You see, this is what I'm trying to deliver you from. Some of you would dare not talk. They dread the thing like, no. Why do you fear death? Don't you know death is a spirit too? The rider upon the pale horse, having a pair of balances, his name is death. Death is a spirit. It's not just a phenomenon. You can cast it away. Oh, apostle, but do you know my father was a pastor? He spoke like this and still died. I respect him, but I don't know what he believed. I don't know what he believed. But one thing I know is let God be true. Let God be true. Oh, let God be true. And every man a liar. Hallelujah. I don't know what harvest is in another person's farm. I'm only sure of the harvest in my own farm because I'm the one sowing. And I will not allow any devil to come and join me in sowing. For me, I will not sleep. So when he comes, I'll say, my friend, the Bible has told me when men sleep, you come. I'm wide awake. And where I am awake, there are angels that are put in charge over me. Are we together now? Yes, sir. There is a wall of fire that is around me when I sleep. Are we together now? Do you know that when God banished man out of Eden, there was the cherubim and the flaming sword, and they protected the garden so that no one will enter? My garden can also be protected. Are we together now? It doesn't mean that just because I'm asleep, any stranger will just come and sow words. Through dreams, he returns back to hell. Physically, he returns back to hell. Through thoughts, he returns back to hell. You know how nations fight? When you fire a ballistic missile, they have missile detectors. So what happens is that it shoots a missile, diverges it or bombs it in the air, and then calculates the trajectory immediately and fires it back. That's the technological back to sender. And it arrives there truly. Yeah, many advanced nations use it. Don't allow your life to be a victim of all kinds of things. I only believe the things that are consistent with the word of God. Now, that does not mean a prophetic word cannot be negative. It can be negative as revealed to the man or as the Holy Spirit is revealing to you. But any prophetic word that is negative is not so that it will come to pass. It is so that you can be aware and then use the power that Isaac revealed to Esau. He said, listen, by reason of this prophetic word, you will be a slave to your brother forever. However, the day you learn dominion, the day you learn the principles of dominion, that yoke is going to be broken. When you shall have dominion, then you shall break his yoke from off your neck. When you shall have dominion, when you understand that nothing in the spirit is final, it awaits the participation of the saints. Everybody say, I believe God's word. Shout it, say, I believe God's word. Say it again, I believe God's word. Yes, sir. I will not believe nonsense. I sympathize with Nigeria. I'm a responsible Nigerian, and I understand that economically things are bad, but when I'm speaking as a citizen, I will say God is helping us, but I will never confess negative over my life. No, sir. Don't say the economy is affecting us. As a responsible person, I'll say, yes, truly, I'm part of it because responsibility demands that. But uniquely, I define my possibilities. I define my possibilities. Are you hearing what I'm telling you now? Listen, don't say it does not matter. I'm teaching you how to win in life. They say ministries go up and go down, minus koinonia, in the name of Jesus, from glory to glory. Are you agreeing with me? Koinonia is not the building, it is you. Glory to glory. 10 years, you are still shining. 20 years, you are still shining. If Christ tarries, you will shine with your children, shine with your grandchildren. When all the naysayers are down and out, you are still standing. When all those who laugh and scorn the word of God are down and out, you are still standing. Receive it as a prophetic word. Hallelujah. Number three. How do you war with the prophetic word? Are you ready? You enforce the manifestation of every good word in the place of prayer. You enforce the manifestation of every good word, every good prophetic word, in the place of prayer. And you cancel the manifestation of every negative prophetic word in the place of prayer. Write that down, please. The place of prayer is like a boardroom in the spirit. is where you decide what becomes your lot and what you decide what you disallow. Let me take that again. You enforce the manifestation of every good prophetic word in the place of prayer. And then you cancel or disallow the manifestation of every negative prophetic word in the place of prayer. What does that mean? Father, in the name of Jesus, through this dream, or through this man of God speaking to me, or through my study of scripture, or through a witness of the Spirit, I sense that there is a season that is not of God. It is inconsistent. In the name of Jesus, your word says, my path is as a shining light. Are we together? And where you are already in that season, you declare that though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the Bible declares that I fear no evil, for thou art with me. I may be in a financial situation, marital situation, health situation, but in the name of Jesus, I declare, nay, in all these things, I am more than a conqueror. This happens in the place of prayer. That's how you war with prophecy. In the place of prayer, you allow and you disallow. In the place of prayer, you give permission for its manifestation or you cancel it. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Now, let me tell you the truth. One of the things you do in the place of prayer also is to contend with the forces. You prayed that earlier on. To contend with the forces that attempt to fight God's word over your life. Contend. Contend. Contend with the forces. God has said he will lift you. Satan heard it. God has said he will lift you. There are programmings from hell. You are not the first to hear that word. Your father heard it, but he did not have enough spiritual intelligence to war a good warfare. So the word did not come to pass. Are we together? Now you have sufficient spiritual intelligence. This is why I encourage you that when you go back home, you listen to these teachings again. Now, this time around, you are not distracted. You are in your room. No packaging, no whatever. You are there. It is you and your destiny. Are we together? When it's time to pray, you pray. Lord, I'm in the days of his power. Weakness dies in my life. Weakness dies in my life. I'm in the days of his power. Now I have learned that prophecy, the manifestation of it, is my responsibility. I'm showing you how to engage. Everything God has said concerning you, if he has spoken some things, open your notebook, write them out. If he's not spoken anything, go online. Listen to my message, exceeding great and precious promises. They can guide you through the prophecy of scripture, the things that God has written, and you begin to pray them. Father, I allow this favor. You are allowed to come into my life. Goodness and mercy, you follow me. This is you worrying. Others are sleeping, but you are worrying. I tell you, you are birthing realities that must surely come to pass in your life. I don't get up in the morning and just stroll around into my day. No. Before coming here, I prayed for Koinonia. I prayed for this preaching. I prayed while some of you were sleeping. Lord, the word of God is going to come with power. As I teach them, it will come to pass. I mentioned many things in your life that I want to see come to pass as a man of God. So when I come and sit down and I hear the testimonies, I'm encouraged. This is it. My business between me and God is happening, manifesting. Are we together? If I see you cry, I get sad because I can't remember agreeing with God on that. If I see you go down, I take responsibility because I can't remember agreeing with God on that. If you come and you say, good job, children, breakthrough, you are loving the Lord. That's right. I remember praying it. I remember God saying, this is what I want to do. And I said, amen to it. Question. Without an amen, nothing comes to pass. I don't mean amen like saying it. Amen like the act of agreeing with God. So I want to ask you a question. All the negative things happening in your life, if you are not the one who said amen, who said it? Because the fact that it is happening, amen by men, is a signal to the realm of the spirit that clearance has been given. Could that be that there is somebody helping you to say amen to several things? You must take responsibility this night. When poverty came, it could not enter your family, but there was a man who said amen, let it come. When yokes of delay came, I'm telling you this, there has to be, I've taught you, co-laborers with God. It is the spirit and the bride that says anything should come. That means if I see anything in my life that I cannot remember saying amen to, I have to go to the control room. The control room is the place of prayer and verify. I said amen to favor. I said amen to lifting. I said amen to breakthrough. I said amen to speed. Where am I seeing pain? Where am I seeing disappointment? And then I hear in my spirit, the enemy has done this. And I said, that's right. Thank you for that information. Satan, you are called a thief. You are used to illegal things. You will never do things legally. But now by the blood of Jesus, I decree and declare that amen, that permission, whichever human vessel on earth was used, I cancel it. I take responsibility over my life. This is me praying now. This is me praying. I reject untimely death. I reject sadness. It is inconsistent with the will of God. I reject it. And once you reject it, what do you think happens in heaven? The judge of all the earth, the righteous judge is called. He says, all right, there is a petition that is rising from the earth. And that petition is that injustice is happening here. Someone is not agreeing with a verdict that is about to be executed. Angels, go and find out what is going on there. They will come with speed. Are they not ministering spirits sent to minister for them that be the heirs of salvation? I'm showing you how it works. So when there is a gathering concerning you, they that rise up to eat your flesh, one of the scriptures you prayed. Do you know there are people like that? They gang up together to eat your flesh, to drink your blood, not physically. Flesh and blood means life, vitality. There are people who only rejoice when you cry. When my enemies came to eat up my flesh, the Bible said they stumbled and they fell. They did not just stumble and fell because, no. There was a stone, he's called a rock. That stone, he was the one who caused them to stumble and fall. The Bible says he stands beside me like a mighty, terrible one. Hallelujah. I and the children that the Lord has given me. He said, we are for signs. Are you confessing it with me? We are for signs and we are for wonders in Israel. Signs and wonders. Signs and wonders. Signs and wonders. Hallelujah. Listen, you cannot bet prophecy if you do not understand prayer. Prayer is a negotiation room. When you get into the place of prayer, you have entered a law court, you have entered a boardroom, the boardroom of your destiny, where you watch what has been decided. And do you know sometimes when you enter that boardroom, you are going to see many biros on that table with many signatures that are not your own, but your name was written there. Because somebody signed it before he died, that whatever happens, let my child and children's children. They didn't know what they were doing. They were beguiled by Satan and they signed with your name on it. Do you know what happens? By the time you are there, you will look left and right and see blood dripping from the cross and bring it to that statement. The only thing that can blot out handwritings, that blood. When it falls on what has been written, it doesn't become red, it becomes white as snow, a clean slate for you. And now God can say, since your father signed this, your mother signed this, ill people signed this, and the blood has wiped it, now put your own signature and you stamp it. Yes to victory, yes to dominion, yes to increase. When you stamp it, I see that judge carrying that hammer. The judge of all, he will stamp it and say it is done. Let it be executed upon the earth. And by the next day, somebody who did not have a business remembering you, because a verdict, kaparikatosiata, from the courts of heaven. I'm telling you, this is how it works. I'm not acting a drama for you on stage. I'm telling you, this is how the realm of the spirit works. Hallelujah. A divine verdict. Now, here's what happens. When that verdict is stamped, it is ready for manifestation. Do you know what happens? The spirit of wisdom starts going round the earth looking for the human actors that must bring that word to pass. So you start having mysterious coincidences. You call them coincidences, but they are orchestrations. The steps of a good man is ordered by the Lord. Suddenly you see an old classmate. Suddenly, listen. How do you make a proclamation over people and they say amen, they receive. Then a job, they ignored your job for 2 years. You submitted an application. You think they just remembered it? Do you know how many graduates have come from those 2 years? Do you know how many applications? What was the probability of finding you? It's no coincidence, sir. When you understand dominion, you can take off that yoke from your neck. Hallelujah. Who signed that you will never build your own house? Who signed that you will have to eat by being a beggar? Who signed that ministry will never go up, that you will struggle for the rest of your life? As we prepare to engage, you are going to agree with God. Those handwritings have been blotted out, and they must be blotted out in experience. No, sir. I didn't ask any spirit to decide on my case. I didn't ask any human entity to decide on my case. I am sane enough, knowledgeable enough, intelligent enough to walk with the word of God and the spirit of grace to decide my reality. Hallelujah. Let me give you the remaining two quickly and then we'll pray. Please be patient and allow us to pray for a few minutes tonight. I know miracle service is next week, but God wants to do a little deliverance here tonight for God to give this word, because for some of you, only God knows what prophetic word has been programmed to happen this week. If it is negative, we send it back. But if it is of God, even Tuesday is too late. May it happen on Monday. Some may it even happen this night. I've taught you, despise not prophesying. When you hear a prophetic word, receive it. Receive it. Number four. So three is enforcing the manifestation of every good word, prophetic word in the place of prayer, canceling, disannulling every negative prophetic word, and then contending with the spirits and forces that attempt to fight that prophetic word over your life. Number four. The fourth way we war with prophecy, and please listen to this, fulfilling the conditions connected to the manifestation of the prophetic word. Fulfilling the conditions. Prophetic words are highly conditional. Whether prophecy of scripture, the promises of God as captured in scripture, or any prophetic word that is given to you, it is highly conditional. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 2. They heard the word just like we did, but the word did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Every prophetic word has a condition. The condition connected to that prophetic word also comes as the strategy for its manifestation. When God tells you to do a thing, or when God tells you he wants you to experience a certain level of spiritual reality, there is a condition connected to it. Koinonia, this is your destiny in Christ. Yes, sir. But here are the conditions. You must exalt the word of God above feelings, above opinions, above culture. Yes, sir. You must let men see me, and by submitting to allow me increase, I will keep glorifying you. Yes, sir. You must give honor to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Yes, sir. You must walk by the law of love. Yes, sir. Provided you are walking in keeping with those principles, no devil of darkness darkness can bring you down. Now, most people just say, I won't go down. A prophetic word will come to pass, but they don't satisfy the conditions. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 1. It shall come to pass, if thou shalt diligently hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God. Listen, it starts with the voice of the Lord your God, to observe and to do all his commandments. Not observe and say, not observe and wish, which I command you this day. It says, the Lord will set thee on high above the nations of the earth, and all these blessings will come upon you and overtake you. Fulfilling the conditions. If he speaks to you and says, you will see, listen to what else he says. If he says, go to the pool of Siloam, don't sit back there saying, but God, you have the power to make me see. That instruction, that condition is what is connected to the miracle. He says, there is he that scattereth and yet increaseth. There is he that withholdeth more than his meat and tends to penury. Don't complain about increase when you are not a giver. You are already in disobedience. The spirit of poverty, the waster, has unlimited access to your life. That is the truth. Give and it shall be given unto you. It didn't say give money. Give anything. Give wickedness, you will get it. Give kindness, you will get it. Give mercy, you will get it. Hallelujah. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed. If you see shame in your life, you are using laziness to fulfill that prophecy. So what is the way out? Diligence. Diligence. It says to give all diligence to make your calling and your election sure. He spake a parable to the end that men ought always to pray and not to faint. He says to pray without ceasing. If any man afflicted, he said, let him pray. Are we together? Prayer is the condition to end affliction. But for you, when you discovered you are afflicted, you cried. You spoke to people, you said all kinds of things, but you did not pray. Fulfill the conditions. I learned this from God's servant, Bishop David Oyedepo. There's nobody I know who has taught obedience as powerful as him and Papa Kenneth Copeland. They teach that the point of victory is the point of obedience, not just the point of knowledge. The point of victory is the point of obedience, not just the point of knowledge. What you know stands useless in the face of your expectations until and unless you can engage. The Bible says, now that ye know these things, it says, happy are you if you do them. If you do them. There are many people who know what will bring them victory, but the grace to obey, the doing grace it is called. And I'm praying for you. For someone, you already know what to do, but the grace to do it. You know that prayer produces power, but you are not prayerful. You know that knowledge gives you fortification and confidence, yet you are lazy. You know that giving brings increase and you don't give. You know that love never fails, yet you walk in hatred. You know that everything that is not of faith, are we together now? If it is not of faith, it cannot glorify God, yet you live in unbelief. You know, but the grace to do it is not there. You must obtain the doing grace, it is called. Obtain the doing grace. Obtain the doing grace. You must fulfill the condition. For as long as we keep fulfilling the condition that is tied to church growth, tied to excellence as revealed from scripture, and the unique instructions God gave this ministry, there is no going down. It doesn't matter what nation. The results are predictable, they are programmable, because obedience, once obedience is in force, your results remain guaranteed. And you see, spiritual principles have equal value in every nation. Believe me when I tell you this. It doesn't matter what nation, obedience is obedience. It was Archbishop Benson Idahosa who said a lizard in Nigeria will not be called an antelope in America. It will see a lizard. Are we together now? A lizard anywhere is a lizard, and it will function like a lizard. A winner in Nigeria is still a winner in America. A winner by the word. A winner by politics and sentiments can be a loser just when you cross border. But a winner by the word, oh no, you found a winner forever. You believe that? Please receive the grace for obedience. Don't trivialize what you are saying. Receive the grace for obedience. Apostle, me, what I want is power. Show me your prayer life. Show me the depth of your hunger for God. Show me your appetite for the word. Show me your honor for vessels who carry the anointing. You score zero in all this, forget about power. Are you getting that now? Yes. Apostle, I want to build a great company. Let me see your passion for knowledge. Let me see your passion for structured mentorship. Let me see your appetite for wisdom. Let me see your capacity to endure persecution, to endure pain. Let me see your sense of vision and discipline. You score zero in this, you will not build anything in your life. It's as simple as that. Don't just desire outcomes. There are conditions connected to it. Are we together? Apostle, I want favor in my life. Let me see how many favor messages you have listened to. Show me how you have engaged in favor-provoking prayers. Favor is a harvest. Have you shown the seeds? Have you shown favor and kindness to someone else? Are you a valuable person? Favor responds to value. Have you mastered the law of relationships? You score zero in all this, forget about favor. It will remain a blind confession. Are you seeing that we claim things in church that never come to pass because we ignore the conditions? I'm praying for you. Before I give you the last key, the grace to not just hear, but to find where it applies to your life and engage with all your heart. May that grace be released upon you. Amen. I heard from God's servant, Bishop David Oyedepo. He said that he was asking the Lord about church growth. And he said that you feed the people with life-transforming teachings and they will come and keep the grass green. They will not just come and go, they will come and lie down there. Are we together now? And it is so true. Nobody leaves what works, I'm telling you. Nobody. When lives are changed, when people are being transformed, when there are testimonies, non-doctored, non-stage managed testimonies, attestations to the power of God, come on now. There is no technology that has been invented to ignore results. When you see results, predictable, consistent results, is proof of mastery. But mastery itself is a product of laws. It says, he that strives for mastery is not crowned except and unless he strives lawfully. If you're learning, say amen. Amen. Please go back and find out what has God said concerning my finances. I'm talking a bit about finances because this is the area that affects people. For many years, we cautioned the body of Christ to pay attention to the matters of economy too. Because days will come, the days have come today. We caution people to receive this grace also, to embrace the whole counsel of God, because you will need to be holistic. The days will come where the absence of finances can interrupt your concentration, your focus. Some listened, some did not listen. Those who listen are now enjoying the safety of Noah's ark. Those who refuse to listen are now finding out that it's almost too late. Because the storm, the clouds are forming, the rain has even started. But the good thing about God is that unlike Noah's ark, this ark now is Jesus. And it does not just, he can open even in the midst of the storm. Noah's ark, once it closes, it does not open in the rain. But this ark called Jesus, when he sees you drowning, he does not desire that you die. He can open the door. He is the door himself, so that you will come in. He says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. Are we together? Let me give you the last key, number five. How do you war with prophecies? One, you verify that the prophetic word is consistent with God's character and consistent with God's will for you. Number two, believe in the prophetic word. That includes believing in the scripture or the person or the spirit, Holy Spirit now, who has communicated that word. Number three, you enforce the manifestation of every good prophetic word in the place of prayer by agreeing with God. You disagree with every negative prophetic word still in the place of prayer, and you ward off all of the spiritual arsenals that will attempt to fight its manifestation in your life. Number four, you obtain grace to fulfill the conditions that are connected to the manifestation of every prophetic word that you desire to see manifest in your life. And number five, you engage the mystery of thanksgiving and patience. How do you war with prophecy? Haven't done all to stand. Stand. This talks about the stability of patience. Hebrews 6:15. It says, and after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Patiently endured. I think that should be 1 Peter chapter 5 somewhere. He said, after you have suffered for a while, that the God of all grace will establish you, will settle you, and so on and so forth. After you have suffered for a while, 1 Peter 5:10, the God of all grace, who has called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, that after ye have suffered for a while, he will make you perfect, mature, wholesome, establish you, strengthen you, and settle you. Listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. Thanksgiving is warfare. There are times you thank God for what he has done, but there are times you thank God for what he's doing that is not yet manifest. I taught you this. It's a prayer model to use thanksgiving as a weapon. You are giving thanks. I bless you, Lord, you are holy, and forever you are God. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord, you are holy, and forever you are God. Shout hallelujah. Someone will come to you and say, why are you rejoicing? We see not our signs, and there is no one who can tell us how long, but you can use thanksgiving to shorten the time of the manifestation of prophecy. Are we together now? You give God all kinds of thanks. Very, very powerful. Thanksgiving is a miracle. Let me tell you the truth. You see thanksgiving like a warrior's armor. You can engage with it even when it does not make sense. Hallelujah. Even when it does not make sense. No finances, no job, no manifestation of that miracle yet. No man to come to your life to say, I want to marry you. No, what do you call it? No promotion, no increase. Looks like your children are going haywire. Maybe your husband is not born again. You have tried complaining. Why don't you partner with God through thanksgiving? Are we together? Yes, sir. You get up in the morning, you just give thanks. Father, I thank you. I bless you. I've not seen the word come to pass, but I thank you. With my hands lifted up, I thank you. I thank you. I glorify you. I glorify you. Whilst you are thanking God, you know what happens? Doubt and fear. There is nothing that kills offense like thanksgiving. You are offended, you are angry, and you just begin to give God thanks. Oh, I thank you, Jesus. I thank you. Can somebody lift your hands right where you are in 1 minute and just find a reason to say thank you? And if there's nothing to say thank you for, go ahead and thank him for the things that he's about to do. Thank him for tomorrow. Thank him for March. Thank him because it's your season where it will come to pass. Oh yes, thank you, that though my beginning be small, my latter end shall greatly increase. Someone say thank you. You are saying, Apostle, God has not done anything that is manifest. You thank him in advance, because there are things happening in the realm of the spirit. Online, are you thanking him? Lift your hands in your room. Lift your hands in your office. Just wave it to the heavens and tell the King of Kings, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. You must learn to give God thanks. You must learn to give God thanks. I live a life of thanksgiving. I have trained myself to never complain before God. When I get before God, both the things he has done and the things I expect him to do, they come under one list. thanksgiving. And I just thank him. Father, thank you. Father, thank you. Oh, I thank you. I thank you. This is me. I'm telling you sincerely. I can spend 1 hour, 2 hours, and all that is coming is thanksgiving. Praise, praise, praise. And I'm thanking him. And sometimes tears come out of my eyes as I'm just telling him thank you. Why the tears come? I know that it's the gratitude that is coming from the Spirit. I first think about the things he's done in my life, and I thank him in advance, because faithful is he. God does not start with people and dump them. Is it not in your Bible? But I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded. This is a word of encouragement for someone. You started with God. Be sure you will finish strong. Oh, you will finish strong. You will finish strong. The one who holds your hands will not leave you on the way. It looks like you are alone, but you are not alone. You are being carried on the wings of mercy, on the wings of grace. It will look like you will not arrive, but there is a God that sits on the circumference of time, and he manipulates all things to be consistent with his will. I feel stirred that we should give him thanks in 1 minute. Someone just say thank you. You are not wasting your time. Say it's warfare. Whether you are kneeling, whether you are standing, whether you are sitting, it doesn't matter. Just take 1 minute and give him thanks. Thank you. Thank you. Bless you, O Lord. You are still blessing him. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For he has done great things. He has done great things. He has done great things. I praise his holy. I praise you. I praise you, oh Lord. I praise you. I praise you, oh Lord. In my life, Lord, I see what you're doing. One more time, Lord, I lift my hands in praise of your name. I lift my hands in praise of your name.
Don't be tired.
For I just want to say, Baba Eshe. I just want to say, Baba Eshe. I just want to say, Baba Eshe. I want to sing a song for you. He who began a good work in you. I'm speaking a prophetic word for someone who came here discouraged. God will not lie. He who began a good work in you. He'll be faithful to complete it.
He'll be faithful to complete it. He who started the work, He'll be faithful to complete it in you.
Take this as a prophetic word for your business, for your life. I'll sing it one more time to your spirit.
He who began a good work in you, He who began a good work in you, He'll be faithful to complete it. He'll be faithful to complete it. He who started the work, He'll be faithful to complete it.
Hosanna, Hosanna.
Song at the end.
Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the high.
One more time with your hands lifted to the heavens.
Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna.
About to pray. There are three groups of people who have come here tonight. Please listen. There are those who came here seemingly defeated, discouraged, angry with God, angry with every man of God you know, because it looks like God has failed you. Looks like it's a scam. God is as if every time you speak, that's when my life goes down. There are those who are like that. It looks like there's nothing God has said. He said you will go up, you went down. You had a dream where you were rejoicing, you are now crying. You saw yourself getting a job, they sacked you by the next day. And you came to church with heaviness in your heart. This is for you. God does not fail. It can come to pass as He has spoken. There's a second group of people. You've seen the faithfulness of God. But nothing is new in your life again. You can't say God has not been faithful, but there are no new testimonies. If you are told you are going to say God is faithful, you can't say what He's doing today. And yet the song says, they are new every morning, great is your faithfulness, oh God, great is your faithfulness. You've not seen that song as a reality in your life. You can reach into yesterday and capture one or two things He has done. But of recent, Kai, you've not seen the hand of God. But there are others who have seen the hand of God like rain. These three groups of people. It doesn't matter what group you belong to. I'm going to give you one prayer point. I'd like you to declare, Father, the things you have said, it will come to pass. I agree with you. I say amen. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. You said I'm a victor. I agree with you. I may be crying, but I agree with you. I agree with you. I agree with you. If you said it, Genesis 21 and verse 1, I declare that this is the season for its manifestation. Someone pray, agree with God. You have said I'm in the days of His power. You have said you will not allow my foot to be moved. Please go ahead and pray.
Someone cry. The hymn writer says, "Oh God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come." Go ahead and pray. Lord, you have been my help. Do it again. Let it come to pass. I war with prophecy over my finances, over my marriage. Someone is praying. Let it come to pass in this season. The Bible says, in the days of your power, the people shall be willing. Lord, I am willing. I am willing. I am willing. I am willing. Someone pray. My help. My help. My help. All of my help cometh from the Lord. My help. My help. My help. All of my help. Don't be tired, you are praying. Now I'd like you to cast every spirit, every power assigned to fight prophecy from manifesting in your life. By the blood of Jesus, declare that that power is broken, canceled from your life. Open your mouth and pray. Contending with ministry, contending with your voice, contending with your influence, contending with your integrity. Someone pray. Shabalala makaparato shabrandagash, rakata prakata balaka paranta kapadash, rapata manakata barakato sadesh, la pratakata pratakata prakata balakata, krabadakata brandagata balakata, pratapata patakata brandaka parakata parakata, shalamarakatosh, embrantam patapalatakata brandagata balakata, mekapratakata balakata. Satan, the Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. The Lord rebuke retrogression. The Lord rebuke delay. The Lord rebuke failure at the edge of breakthrough. The Lord rebuke negative patterns. Someone is praying. 1 minute. Make this bargain with your destiny. Participate in the manifestation of prophecy. Say to the righteous, I am the righteous. It shall be well with me. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighted greatly in his commands. His seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Go ahead and pray. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, I want to pray for you. Take it down, please. You are my hiding place. You always fill my heart with songs of deliverance. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. I will trust in you. Let the weak say I am strong. In the strength of the Lord, I will trust in you. I will trust in you. Let the weak say I am strong. In the strength. I'm about to speak over your life. I have seen prophecy come to pass. I have seen God say things, and I have watched it come to pass. I have seen God say impossible
impossible thing supposedly, and I still saw it come to pass. Because the God we serve is a mighty God. The God we serve is a glorious God. And I want to allow him speak through me to your life. And I want you to believe, because it will come to pass. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, words can come to pass. Believe this. Prophecies, no matter how difficult, can come to pass. I am a product of prophecy, because God confirms the words of his messengers. He performs the counsel of his messengers. He confirms the words of his servants. When the prophet said, by this time tomorrow, there was a man who said, even if God will open the windows of heaven, might these things be. Let me tell you the truth. I've not been in ministry for too long, but I've seen what grace can do. I've seen what grace can do. I've seen what the word of God can do. That the word of God can come like fire, like rain. It can rest on a man, and that man can carry the word like a souvenir, believing, engaging. He can begin to watch his possibilities change. God brought you to church tonight because he wants you to receive a word that you will run with for your days. Can I speak over your life? Like fire, like rain, let your glory fall. Like fire, like rain, let it fall. Like fire, like rain,
like fire, like rain, let your glory fall. Like fire, like rain, let it fall.
Like fire, like rain,
like fire, like rain, let your glory fall. Like fire, like rain, let it fall.
In the name of Jesus, I speak into your life. Step into a season of strange favor. Strange favor. Strange favor. Strange favor. I program favor over your life. I declare that from tonight, not tomorrow, not in the morning, from tonight, may favor begin to happen in your life. Favor in the morning when you wake up. Favor in the afternoon. Favor in the night. Even when you are sleeping, let it be favor testimonies. In the name of Jesus. 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 For someone, here is a word for you. Weep not. This is the prophetic word in this season. Weep not. Crying comes to an end. Weep not. Mourning comes to an end. Weep not. Shame comes to an end. Weep not. Disappointment comes to an end. In the name of Jesus, I decree and I declare over your life, every negative hand that touched your head that is responsible for misfortune, I stand prophetically. I touch your head for blessings. I touch your head for increase. Let there be a restoration of your glory. In the name of Jesus. Hear me. Quarter to shame. May my God arise and bail you out. Quarter to embarrassment. May my God arise and bail you out. Arise and bail you out. Arise and bail you out. In the name of Jesus. I prophesy, go forward. Go forward. Go forward. Financially, go forward. Maritally, go forward. Career-wise, go forward. Intellectually, go forward. Ministry-wise, go forward. Business-wise, go forward. Every chain holding your feet, I break it now. I break it now. Every chain holding your hand, I break it now. Every chain tying your neck, I break it now. Every Jacob who manipulated your blessings, and made Isaac to speak to another what should be to you. Because you have mastered dominion, I reverse the course. I reverse the course. I reverse the course. I reverse the course. In the name of Jesus. I decree and declare, it doesn't matter what witchcraft, familiar spirit, ancestral causes, patterns around your life and your family, because God brought you today, every negative thing, every negative speaking, we forbid it from coming to pass. We forbid it from coming to pass. They say, well, you will not have children. They will, their shame, they will be buried in their shame forever. They said your children will not smile. They will watch your children smile. They said a butcher will not favor you. I step my feet on this ground, and in the name of Jesus, I command the gates of this city open, 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 open. Please help those under the anointing. I'm praying for you. That if your hands gather, the same hands will scatter it. I pray for you. You will gather and you will retain. You will gather and you will retain. You will gather and you will retain. Anyone who went to the ears of your helper and whispered demonic things, anyone who came in the spirit of Sambalat and Tobias to stop the building from being built, everyone coming in the spirit of Haman to stop your rising, Mordecai, I declare the same pit Haman dug, may he fall into it. May he fall into it. May he fall into it. As for you, I decree and declare, may your face begin to shine. Let it shine and may your helper see it. Let it shine and may your blesser see it. In the name of Jesus. If your father cursed you, I stand by the apostolic grace and I cancel that curse now. Hear what I'm saying. I don't know why he cursed you, but I stand by this apostolic and prophetic anointing. Whether you were cursed directly or cursed as a family, I bless you now. Go and prosper. I bless you now. Go and prosper. If it is a man of God who cursed you because of your attitude of the past, you talk bad in the secret, they curse you. I stand by mercy and I bless you. I stand by mercy and I bless you. If it was a self-inflicted curse by sin, disobedience, or whatever it is, let mercy speak for you now. In the name of Jesus. Koinonia, hear me. Don't stop till you shine like the eagle. Don't stop till you soar like the eagle. Don't stop till all men can see you at the top. In the name of Jesus. Hear me. Anyone laughing with you in the open, but going behind to say don't lift them, in this season, in fact this week, may my God expose them. May my God expose them. May my God expose them. I pray for every man of God here, where your grace has been despised, where the fire of God upon your life is not speaking, I pray that this week, may the God of all grace give you an encounter that will launch you to a new season. An encounter that will launch you to a new dimension. Anything tied down like the colt, tied down like the donkey, I decree and declare, be released so it can be used to serve the king. If it's your job, I release it. If it's your children, I release it. In the name of Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, walk conscious of the fact that you have the power to walk in partnership with the Word of God, the Spirit of God, and the principles of dominion to edit what needs to stay in the spirit forever and what needs to manifest in your life. Say, I choose to shine. Say, I choose to be victorious. Say, I choose to be the head and not the tail. Say, I choose to live long. Say, I choose to prosper. Say, I choose to be great. Say, I choose to love Jesus. Say, I choose to be on fire. Say, I choose the way of influence. Say, I choose the way of winners. Say, I choose to be a champion. Give Jesus a big hand clap. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Please go back and listen to this message, but more importantly, engage it prophetically and take some time to pray. You are in this place and you need to make it right with Jesus. Lend me your attention, everybody. Following online, and you are here on site, in the main auditorium, the galleries, all the overflows, outside. The Spirit of God is speaking to you. Without Jesus, it is impossible to even talk about victory or dominion. It is by the cross, it is by His blood, it is through His sacrifice that we have the basis for living a victorious life. I want to give two people an invitation very quickly. Number one, someone who is an apostle, please give me an opportunity to make it right with Jesus. I admit that I do not have the power to help myself, and I need to make it right. I don't want to leave church tonight without declaring His Lordship over my life. Number two, there are those who are saying, I need to rededicate my life to Jesus. I count 1 to 5. God bless you, my dear sister. I want someone who is bold enough to join this dear lady. I count 1 to 5. If you are coming from the balcony, make that fast. God bless you. I see people coming, young and old. God bless you. Come quickly. Koinonia, keep clapping. Keep clapping. Keep clapping. Keep clapping. It's a new beginning for you. That's what you are saying. Lord, I choose a new beginning. My life cannot continue like this. Come. The Bible declares that as many who will come to Him, He will in no wise cast away. If you're coming from outside, please make it fast. We're out of time. Let's keep clapping. Let's encourage them as they come. They are coming to Jesus. He's the way, He's the truth, He's the life. The Bible declares that no man cometh to the Father except through Him. Your coming tonight is the greatest way to rewrite prophecies, to change any negative prophecy. Because the Bible says, therefore, if any man is in Christ, He says he's a new creature, that the old things have gone, and behold, all things have become new. Come. Come. God bless you. Young and old, male and female, educated or otherwise, great or otherwise, come to Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you. You know, it's always a blessing to see people come to Jesus. The Bible says He desires that all men, not some men, all men be saved, then to come unto the knowledge of the truth. I can tell you it gives the Father great joy to see the harvest from the sacrifice of His Son. I imagine Jesus rejoicing with joy unspeakable. Right now in the throne, I imagine the angels who have worked as reapers in partnership with this word, bringing you right here. He calls you the harvest. He doesn't call you sinners. He calls you His harvest. And I want to salute you, ladies and gentlemen, young and old. Thank you for this bold declaration. The word of God declares that as many who come to Him, He will in no wise cast away. And for someone who is connecting online across our expressions, viewing centers across the globe, or you are following just from your house, here's your chance to make Jesus Lord of your life. Please lift your right hand high above your head. Say this as loud and as clear as you can. Say, Lord Jesus. Say it again, Lord Jesus. Tonight, I have heard your word. I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you died for my sin. I believe that you rose again for my justification. Right now, I receive Jesus into my heart as my Savior, my Lord, and my King. I declare that the power of sin, Satan, hell, and the grave is broken over my life. From tonight, I'm a child of God. I go forward ever and backward never. Amen. Let me pray over you. The power of sin, Satan, hell, and the grave is broken over your life. By the authority of God's word and upon your confession of his lordship, I decree and declare that you are a bona fide recipient of his life, a beneficiary of his grace and mercy. I call you saved. I call you born again. You'll go from glory to glory and grace to grace, for it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. I see some gentlemen who are just coming late. The counselors will lead you to pray that prayer. When you get to the counselors, let them know you didn't pray and they would guide you. Please, to my left, everybody. My right, that will be your left. There's a counselor waving the placard. Please let them see it. And those who are following online, please make sure you communicate to the media. There will be a way of reaching you so that you know. Thank you. The QR code is there. Please make sure you let us know you just got saved, and there will be someone to attend to you from that back end. The Lord bless you. Let's appreciate all these ones. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's keep clapping until they leave. What a harvest tonight. We give Jesus praise. The way you are clapping is the way they will clap for you as your blessings come. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Two assignments very quickly. Number one, please go back and listen to this message again. This time around, prayerfully. Prayerfully. Listen and spend at least an hour praying in the Spirit, declaring that every prophetic word that has been spoken over your life, that it must come to pass and obtain grace to walk in obedience. Listen to the teachings that build your understanding, and the Lord will help you in Jesus' name. Number two, make sure we're still in a season of ingathering. God has shown us mercy, but there is still a lot of people who need the word of God. They need to build their spiritual understanding. Make sure you do the work of an evangelist, and that includes those who are following online. Do the work of an evangelist. Tell somebody to tell somebody what God is doing, and make sure that they connect. This is beyond just men trying to do their thing and making a fame. God has honored us already, but the king's business requires haste. It's important that more people, more families, more territories, more nations, more nobles, and more downcasts, as many who the Lord will draw, and he will draw it through you. We are extensions of his hands, and we reach the unreached so that we bring them to Jesus. So please make sure you pay that price and labor in the Spirit. Next week will be a miracle service for the month of March. Hallelujah. It's going to be an extraordinary time. It'll be a time of prophecy. It'll be a time of prayer. We're going to be praying, and God is going to be ministering to us. God bless you again for every one of you. Thank you for enduring tonight. We stretch your time a bit, but I believe that is a worthy bargain. Please stand on your feet as we close the service. The Lord bless you in the name of Jesus. I've spoken over you already. All other announcements, will make the announcement for Sound of Revival UK next week. So I know that there's been a lot of pressure about the registration links. Please, we'll leave that for next week. So all those who will be there, make sure you prepare next week. Think about it. Plan Glasgow, Scotland. It is for May. So make sure that you are ready. We'll officially pray and release the registration links. And we're trying to do that so that we make sure that we don't have people saying we didn't hear, and the space is, you know, there's no more space. So we're going to open it. If we exhaust it at that point, then we've done the best that we can do. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. So all those around Europe, UK particularly, and Scotland, please make sure you look forward to the announcement on Sunday during the miracle service. I'll do that as a function before we get straight to the word and the ministration. So all of you who have been calling the PR department, the media protocol, please be patient. Just 1 week, and then you'll be able to register. And if you're registering for your family and your children, make sure they are going to be there, please, so that you don't stop others from having the spaces. There's only so much we can do. We can only take people to the size of the auditorium, and when it's exhausted, there's not much we can do. So we only have to work based on, you know, first come, first serve. So please make sure that you only register when you are prepared, you've planned, and you're ready to come. As always, all our conferences will be on all our social media platforms. So for those who will not be in Europe or those who may not be able to make it, you can always connect and the Lord will bless you in Jesus' name. There's no distance in the spirit, even though proximity always remains an advantage. Praise the name of the Lord. Have you been blessed today? Father, we bless you and we honor you. Thank you for bringing your word. We declare and we agree that it will come to pass in our lives. That which you have spoken, we'll see it manifest this week to the glory of your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Together as a family, let's share the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Rest and abide with us now and forever. Amen. Surely, God's goodness and mercy follow us all the days of our lives as we dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. God bless you and see you next week.